want you to turn with me to the book of Ecclesiastes. And I have some portion here in my heart that I would like to speak on tonight. Ecclesiastes chapter 9. Ecclesiastes chapter 9 and verse 4. For to him that is joined to all the living, there is hope. For a living dog is better than a dead lion. Verse 11. I returned and saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, neither yet bread to the wise, nor yet riches to men of understanding, nor yet favor to men of skill, but time and chance happeneth to them all. For man also knoweth not his time, as the fishes are taken in an evil net, and as the birds are caught in the snare, so are the sons of men snared in an evil time when it falleth suddenly upon them. This wisdom have I seen also under the sun, and it seemed great unto me. There was a little city, and few men within it, and there came a great king against it, and besieged it, and built great bulwarks against it. Now there was found in it a poor wise man, and he, by his wisdom, delivered the city, yet no man remembered that same poor man. The first verse that I read was, for to him that is joined to all the living, there is hope. For a living dog is better than a dead lion. I've told this story before. I'm going to tell it again. There was a young man that came to a bus stop, and he saw a young girl there, and she was carrying a parcel. And being polite, he said, "Can I carry your parcel for you?" And so she said, "Sure." She carried the parcel. He carried the parcel for her. And they got on the bus, and the bus went on its way. And presently, the bus stopped a couple of stops down the road. And two policemen got on board the bus, and they came up to the young man. And they said to the young man, "What's in your parcel? What do you got in this parcel?" "Well, he handed it. It belongs to her, you see." And so he handed them the parcel, and the parcel was full of cocaine. Now he was in trouble. The girl said, "Well, it's not mine. It's not mine." Naturally, she would say that. And there he was, caught red-handed with a bundle of cocaine. So the trial came up, and he stood before the judge. And what can you say? He was caught red-handed. And the judge said, 7 years. 7 years in the penitentiary. And there he was. He was put 7 years in a penitentiary for something he never did. He says, "What kind of a God is that that would allow something like that to happen in my life? What kind of a God?" I'll tell you what kind of a God it was. I'll tell you what kind of a God it is. It's a God of love. A God of wonderful love and mercy. A wonderful God that delights to save. A wonderful God that has His arms outstretched to anyone here tonight that is still in their sins and doesn't know Christ as their own personal Savior. A wonderful that God has lengthened out the day of grace, that the gospel can go forth here again tonight. Beautiful, isn't it? A wonderful, long-suffering God lingering over this world. It says here, to him that is joined to all the living. Every one of us here tonight are living. We're breathing. We have the breath of life. Supposing God was to say, "Well, that's your last breath," where would you be? Where would you be? Would you be in eternity, without hope, without God, a solemn thing to face eternity without knowing the Lord Jesus as your own personal Savior. Well, this young man, 7 years in penitentiary. Well, God had His eye on him and wanted to save him. And you know, dear one, tonight, God has His eye on you and He wants to save you. He looks down into this room. He knows every heart here in this room here tonight. As I've often said to the children back in the Maritimes, God just looks down from heaven right into this gospel tent tonight. And He knows whether your heart is black with sin or whether it's washed in the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. He knows all about you. Oh, I trust that everyone here tonight are washed in the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. All my sins are gone, and yours can be gone tonight if you know, if you come to the Lord Jesus. Well, this young man, a man came to see him one day in the prison, and he handed him a Bible. Here it is, the precious Word of God, words of life here in this wonderful book. This wonderful book has words of life, and it shows man the way of salvation. The way of salvation is here. Oh, if only man would just open this precious book and read from this wonderful book, he'd find the blessing. Yeah. And God saved that young man. He saved him, that young man. Why did God allow this to happen to me? Because He wanted to save him. And you know, God might have to bring you into circumstances as He did to me when I was a young man. He had to bring me into circumstances where I had to realize that life is very brief and I needed the Savior and I had to come to Him. And I'm not sorry I did. What a wonderful God. What a wonderful Savior. And I returned and saw under the sun. You know, every one of us here tonight are in that case. We're here. We're here in this world. And what about this world? Oh, I love this verse. It says in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." And I like to quote the companion verse that goes with John 3:16. It's so beautiful. I've got it marked, and I've got a little piece of paper here that has never left my Bible ever since I got it. Job 34:14. Just hold your place where we were. Job 34:14. "If He set His heart upon man, if He gather unto Himself His spirit and His breath, all flesh shall perish together, and man shall return to the dust." And I want to quote it as Darby quotes it. "If He only thought of Himself, and gathered unto Him His spirit and His breath, all flesh would expire together, and man would return to the dust." Think of that. If He only thought of Himself. No, this wonderful, loving God never thought of Himself. Dear one, tonight, I have to say this with all... He never thought of Himself. He thought of you, dear one, tonight. He thought of everyone here tonight. He thought of me. And what did He do? He sent His only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, here into this world to die for us on Calvary's cross. The Lord Jesus did it all on Calvary's cross for your sins and mine. Everything has been done to accomplish our redemption. All been done. All been done. And all we have to do is come as a guilty lost sinner before a holy God. Here it says here, "The race is not to the swift." You know, there's a lot of young people here tonight. I might talk a little bit about this because I'm not so young anymore. And when I get into some athletics, most of my athletics are climbing mountains with my son. And I'm finding that At 72 years old, I'm starting to lag behind, getting all puffed out. But it says here, the race is not to the swift. You know, well, let's go to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Let us run with patience the race set before us, looking unto Jesus. You know, I'm going to tell you this one thing right now, and I want you to consider this very, very carefully. If you don't know Christ as your Savior tonight, dear one, you're not even in the race. You're not in the race. You see, this race that we are speaking about here in Hebrews chapter 12 is for those that know Christ as their own personal Savior. And so you're not in the race, nor the battle to the strong. Romans chapter 5 and verse 6, for when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. I have no strength. You have no strength. We can't save ourselves. All the things that you could do, it never worked. I know when I was a young guy, I wasn't saved. You see, I wasn't saved till I was 24 years old. And there were times in my life when there were problems in my life. And I would try and change my ways. And I would try being a little better guy as I was growing up. It didn't work. It didn't work. The more I tried, the worse I got. Until finally, I finally had to come as a guilty, lost sinner before God. I got no strength. I got no strength. You know, my son and I was telling you, we usually every Saturday, we climb mountains. All the mountains around Vancouver, there's hundreds and hundreds of trails, and we climb as many as we can. Just for an outing, just to take my boy out for an outing for the day. And I can turn around and look at my boy as he's 44. And I can turn around and look at my boy, and he's barely breathing, and I'm just about puffed right out of, I can barely go another inch. You know, you young fellas here, you're full of vim, vigor, vitality, and you've got all kinds of energy. May that energy be for the Lord Jesus Christ. Your life is ahead of you. Your life is ahead of you. You know, I'm 72 years old. I haven't got many more years left here in this world if the Lord doesn't come. Not many more years left of active service for the Lord. Redeeming the time, because the days are evil. The time is short. Everything that's done for Christ will last. That's it. Only one life will soon be passed. Everything. Only what's done for Christ will last. Neither yet bread to the wise. Who was the wisest man that ever lived? It was Solomon. He wrote this book here. Solomon wrote this book. He was the wisest man. But what did he say in the end? He said all was vanity and vexation of spirit. Think of that. Everything was vanity and vexation of spirit. Nor yet riches to men of understanding. If you go to the 16th chapter of the Gospel of Luke, you'll find there a man who was rich. He had all the riches that he could want. But he lived for himself. Lived for himself. And dear one, tonight, if you live like that in this world, for yourself, and leave God out of your life, you'll face an awful eternity. An awful eternity in the fires of hell forever. Does God want to send a young man, a young girl to hell? No, He doesn't. No, He doesn't. A wonderful, loving God who can say, I take no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his evil way. And then He says, turn ye, for why will ye die? Think of this. Of a wonderful, loving God who's pleading for man to come to Him tonight, just as you are, as the songwriter says, just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me. And that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come. He's pleading for man to come to Him. In John 7:37 it says, and in that last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, if any man thirst, let him come to me and drink. Oh, how many there are that are thirsty tonight. You know, there's only one person that can satisfy your thirst. You won't get it in this world. You won't get it in this world. Only Christ, it says, He satisfieth the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with fatness. A wonderful, loving God that delights to bless. That delights to bless. Do you know this wonderful God? Oh, I think of that. That the Lord Jesus there in John 7:37, that last day of the feast. Think of that. The last day. You know, this could be the last gospel meeting you'll hear. Think of that. If the Lord was to come tonight, would this be here tomorrow? Would there be the gathering together tomorrow? No. We'd be, all of us, shall I say, all of us, will all of us be home in the glory tomorrow if the Lord Jesus came? Or will there be someone here tonight left behind to face the awfulness of eternity? You might say, well, you know what they're saying nowadays. You might get a second chance. No, absolutely not. You know, there is a great gulf fixed. And God will send you a strong delusion that you'll believe a lie. There is no second chance. And so the opportunity tonight is to come as a guilty lost sinner. Beautiful. He says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. You know, the struggle in my soul as a young man, I didn't have any rest. I didn't have any peace. I was looking to the world. I was dabbling in all the world as a young man. And there was nothing there. Nothing there. And there's just nothing for you. Nothing for you in the world. If I could say, I'm speaking tonight to you young people here tonight. If I could say that I'm speaking from experience as one that went out into the world. I was raised in a Christian home too. That I dabbled in the world. And I found it all vanity and vexation of spirit. And all it does is give you a big head and a foul mouth. That's all it does. That's what the God of this world would have you follow Him. It says, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ should shine into them. And so I say tonight, you have a wonderful opportunity tonight to come to Christ and confess Him as Savior. Nor yet favor to men of skill. You know, you and I have no skill at all. I've got no skill. No skill at all. What I have is what the Lord has given me. Here's a man that doesn't have any skill. Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18. Verse 10. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee, the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, saying, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. You see, here's this man. He's a Pharisee. He's a real religious man. You know, many of the people that I meet on the street corner, many of them sometimes try to impress me as to how religious they are. If they can't say anything, they might say, well, God bless, or something like that. You get all kinds of comments. You might say, oh, God bless, or hallelujah, or praise the Lord. But do they say that they know Christ as their own personal Savior? That's what I want to hear. But here's this Pharisee. He's talking about himself. Every second word is I. I've done this. I've done this. I've done that. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much his eyes to heaven, but smote upon his breast. Why did he smote upon his breast? That is where his sin was. That is where his sin was. You and I, you, dear one tonight, have sinned against the holy God. Those sins have separated you from a holy, righteous, sin-hating God, a thrice holy God who cannot have sin in His presence. I want to say, you cannot get to heaven with all your sins. God is of purer eyes than to behold iniquity and cannot look upon sin. But oh, the wondrous news of the gospel is this. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. All sins gone. 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 Beautiful, isn't it? Wonderful. And what does he say? God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Dear young person, or maybe even an older one here tonight, if you don't know Christ as your Savior, you know, this is often called the sinner's prayer. You know, you can be saved tonight if you would bow your head in the seat and where you're sitting here tonight and pray this prayer, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Now, I'm not saying for you to do this tonight, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I'm not saying for you to do that. I'm saying that it must come from the heart. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. It must come from the heart, because God values reality. Reality. He wants you to be real before Him. But time and chance happeneth to them all. Time. It's ticking. That clock over there is ticking. Mine's ticking. It's going on. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. That's it. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. So many here young tonight. And that's the verse for you. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. You're young. The time to come to Christ is when you're young. If you put it off, it gets harder and harder to come to Christ. It gets harder. Not very many are saved in their late stages. We heard of one, I think it was in Rideau Ferry this summer, 87 years old, and he got saved. Amazing. The grace of God, the mercy of God, and saving a person that age. Beautiful. But how many are saved at 87? What are the statistics? I don't know what they are. Not too many are saved at 87, but there are many saved when they're young. Many saved from 6 to 12 or whatever the case may be. That's the time to come to Christ. You see, your heart is young and tender, and you can receive Christ. Dear young boy, young girl here tonight, young teenager, come to Christ tonight. Own Him as Lord and Savior of your life. He's a wonderful Savior. And He has something wonderful for you. Something wonderful. Take it from me. He's a wonderful God. For man knoweth not, but time and chance happeneth to them all. Yeah, time and chance. Here it is. Another gospel meeting. You have a chance to be saved tonight. You have a chance to be saved. For man knoweth not his time. Do you know where you're going to be tomorrow? I don't. I trust that maybe tomorrow, Lord willing, we'll be here tomorrow. Whereas ye know not what shall be in the morrow. We better read that. That's good. James chapter 4. James chapter 4, verse 13. Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city and continue there and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas, ye know not what shall be in the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now ye rejoice in your boastings. All such rejoicing is evil. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. What is it saying here? Go to now ye that say today and tomorrow we'll go into such a city and continue there and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas ye know not what shall be in the morrow, you don't know what will be on the morrow. And then he says these words. This is a solemn, solemn question. Mark them well in your Bible. What is your life? What is your life? You're young. What are you going to do with your life? Are you going to give your life to Christ? Or are you going to serve the God of this world? That is the question tonight. The question of your soul's salvation, the destiny of your soul's salvation. Where will you spend eternity? What is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanishes away. You blow a bubble and you see that bubble and it floats off and then bingo, it's gone. You see, here I am. I'm 72 years old. I look back in the years. What happened to the years? They've just flown by. And soon we'll be in the glory. Wonderful, wonderful hope. That's my hope. To be with the Lord Jesus in that coming scene of glory. Oh, think of it. Think of that wonderful shout that's going to take place. Maybe this very night, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall be raised first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together to meet them in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Dear one, tonight, are you comforted by those words? Are you comforted by those words? Are they comfortable to you? They weren't to me when I was a young man, because if the Lord had come, I would have been left behind. They're not comfortable to those that are lost and in their sins. Therefore, look at the 17th verse. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, it is a sin. You know, dear young people here tonight, everyone here, I don't know, there's a lot of strange faces here tonight, but I don't know everyone here tonight. I don't know you. But I am sure that everyone here knows the way of salvation. You all know the way of salvation, don't you? It says so in John 14 and verse 6. Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. You know the way of salvation. To him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, it is a sin. You know the way of salvation, and you haven't accepted Christ as your Savior, it is a sin. You know the worst sin that you could ever commit? Fornication? Is that the worst sin that you could commit? Adultery? Is that the worst sin that you could commit? Robbery? Is that the worst sin that you could commit? Kill your neighbor? Is that the worst sin that you could commit? All those things, I say no. The worst sin that you could commit is to reject Christ as your Savior. You see, God gave the very best to redeem your precious soul. It is an insult to God to reject His wonderful offer of mercy. An insult to God. Oh, think of this, dear friend tonight. You're playing with the destiny of your soul if you're lost here tonight. And so we plead with you to come. Tomorrow may be too late. This life is just like a vapor. It vanishes away and it's gone. But what you have in Christ lasts for all eternity. For man knoweth not his time, as the fishes that are taken in an evil net, and as the birds that are caught in the snare, so are the sons of men snared in an evil time when it falleth suddenly upon him. You know, I see this every day that I go downtown. I see young men, young girls, snared on the evil net of the god of this world. Snared. Their life is in ruins. Their life is in ruins. And so if you reject Christ, you're vulnerable to the god of this world. And he can take you and take your life and drag you right down to the door of hell and leave you there. You know, this is solemn. This is solemn. Because, you know, I'm speaking from experience, because I was going that way. But it's the grace of God that saved me. The grace of God. Oh, the mighty grace of God. A God who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses and sin. Oh, this wonderful God. Do you know Him? Do you know Him? Dear young people tonight. Then these verses. Verse 14. There was a little city. This world. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Oh, I love that verse. Oh, if we could only preach that wonderful verse all over this world tonight. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Beautiful. Wonderful. We, about this time last year in Newfoundland, we had street preaching right downtown Cornerbrook, Newfoundland. And the gospel went out. We were a number of us were preaching from Cecil's lot there that got burnt down. And we had a speaker system. And there were people coming by, and there were cars coming by, and the windows were rolling down, and people were stopping. And what are these folks doing? And we had the privilege of telling forth the wonderful news of salvation to the passerby. Is it nothing to you, all ye that pass by, behold and see, if there be any sorrow like unto my sorrow, which was done unto me, wherewith the Lord hath afflicted me in the day of his fierce anger. Oh, how many there are that tonight are passing by. You know, you're hearing about the gospel tonight. You're hearing about the cross of Christ. Even though it's feebly put forth tonight, you're hearing about it. And you're passing by. You're passing by tonight, the cross. What are you going to do about it? What are you going to do about that blessed one who hung upon Calvary's cross for your sin? Think of the Lord Jesus there 2,000 years ago, hanging on that cross, God's beloved Son, that one in whom was no sin, never sinned, never had the thought of sin in his life. The holy, spotless Lamb of God, that John the Baptist could look on him and say, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." But man's wicked heart put the Lord Jesus up on that cross of Calvary. And there, that in those 3 hours of darkness, there he could cry out, "My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" Oh, dear one, why did God forsake his Son? Because it was on account of your sins and mine that he was there, being the sin bearer for me there in Calvary's cross. And surely tonight I can say, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. Oh, what a wonderful Savior we have to proclaim tonight. And there was a little city and a few men within it. You think of this world, all this world. And there came a great king against it. Who's this great king? Oh, I believe that this is this the god of this world, Satan. A great king, and he came against it. And besieged it. Besieged it. Could you hold your place there and go to 2 Kings chapter 7? No, it's 2 Kings chapter 6. Second Kings chapter 6. And verse 24. And it came to pass after this that Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, gathered all his host and went up and besieged Samaria. There came a great king against it and besieged it. And there was a great famine in Samaria. And behold, they besieged it until an ass's head was sold for 40 pieces of silver and a fourth part of a calf of dove's dung for 5 pieces of silver. Here it is. Ben-Hadad came, he besieged the city of, completely surrounded the city of Samaria, and there was absolute chaos in the city of Samaria. Incredible hunger in that city. And you know, isn't that just what it is today? The God of this world has besieged this world. And so the sorrow that has happened in this world, of how many that are following the God of this world. You know, I like it. You know, if you go to the 7th chapter of 2 Kings there, it says in the very first verse, I love this. And Elisha said, "Hear ye the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, tomorrow about this time shall a measure of fine flour be sold for a shekel and 2 measures of barley for a shekel in the gate of Samaria." There was Elisha, you know, amongst all this confusion there in Samaria, all this famine, and there was Elisha. It said in the last verse of the 6th chapter, Elisha sat still in his house. Elisha sat still in his house. Oh, you know, it says in Psalm 46, it says, "Be still and know that I am God." You know, we can, as it were, sit still with quietness and confidence. And what does it say? Tomorrow. 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 Think of that. tomorrow. The Lord Jesus Christ is my tomorrow. He's my future. Is He your future? He's my future. He's the one that I'm going to spend an eternity with. He's the one that I'm waiting for. And surely tonight I can say, as it says in Revelation 22, even so, come, Lord Jesus. Surely most of us here tonight would cry out, even so, come, Lord Jesus. Are you waiting for the Lord to come? I am. What a wonderful moment. It's just before us. What an exciting time that we are living in right here. I believe the last days, the last closing days of the day of grace. Days in which brethren that lived before us were longing for the moment that we're living here today. And are we being faithful in this? Are we being faithful? Oh, are we looking for the Lord Jesus to come? Yeah, often we say, perhaps today He'll come and take us home. Now there was found in it a poor wise man, and I'll go back a little bit. The great king against it and besieged it and built great bulwarks against it. I think of those bulwarks, you know. It's some obstacle that is insurmountable, if I might put it that way. Some obstacle that is insurmountable. Well, I'll tell you one obstacle that is insurmountable, and that is your sin. Your sin is insurmountable. But you know, it's not hopeless. It's not hopeless. Again, I quote that lovely verse, the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Oh, thank God for the precious blood of Christ that was shed on Calvary's cross for your sins and mine. Think of man's hatred in plunging that spear into the side of the Lord Jesus. But then it says, the very spear that pierced His side drew forth the blood to save. My sins all gone. And I say again, you'll never get to heaven without the work of Christ. You'll never get to heaven without the blood of Christ. It's the only way to heaven. Now there was found in it a poor wise man, and he by his wisdom delivered that city, in whom we have redemption through his blood. Oh, let me read that. We've gone through Colossians in Walla Walla. Colossians chapter 1, verse 12, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sin. Giving thanks unto the Father. Dear one, tonight, have you ever thanked the Lord Jesus for saving your precious soul? That's what He wants to hear from you tonight. If you've never done so, will you do so tonight? He longs to hear from you tonight. Won't you tonight, if you're still lost and in your sin, get down on your knees before a holy God tonight and thank Him for sending His Son to die for you on Calvary's cross. That's what He longs to hear from you. Young man, let me hear thy voice, He says in the Song of Solomon, for sweet is thy voice. Think of that. Sweet is thy voice. He just wants to hear your voice. Won't you just talk to Him? You know, it's wonderful. I have a wonderful, loving God, one that I can turn to every day of my life. And I have needs. I have problems in my life, and I have needs, and I need strength for every day. I can't go one day without the Lord Jesus. I need Him. How wonderful it is that we have one to turn to. What is a man of the world got? Does he turn to his doctor, his psychiatrist, or anything else? That's all a man of this world has. But when we have Christ as our Savior, we have the Word of God, we have the Spirit of God, we have everything. Wonderful, isn't it? We can't lose. It's so wonderful to belong to Him. I know that when I was a young feller, 16 years old, my Bible sat in my dresser drawer and collected dust. It did. It collected dust for about 10 years. While I was a crazy young feller, God doesn't want that of you. He doesn't want that of you. Dear young person here tonight, come to Christ. Now there was found in it a poor wise man, and he by his wisdom delivered that city. Oh, he's delivered. He's delivered me from all my sin. He can deliver you tonight if you just come to him. Oh, we plead with you, dear young people here tonight, won't you come to him? Again, I quote the verse, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." As a young feller, I was heavy, heavy laden with all my sin. Let me tell you, this is the story I quite often tell. And in the mountain cabin that I had in the North Shore Mountains of Vancouver, we had a cabin on the 3,000-foot level, a log cabin. We spent many times up there with our kids, and we'd have to hike from the bottom up to the top. And when the kids were young, Dad would have to carry the pack sack, all the food and provisions for the time we would spend up the mountain. And it was quite a struggle getting up to the cabin. But when we got to the cabin door, I named my cabin Shechem, meaning shoulders, after City of Refuge. And when we got to the cabin door, I took my pack sack off and I put it down in the cabin there. And you know, after slugging it out up the trail for about 3 hours, you just felt light as a feather. Light as a pin. Light as a pin. And you know, that's just what the Lord Jesus can do for you. Just what the Lord Jesus can do for you. He can take all those sins and remove all those sins. Wash them in His precious blood. And you'll feel a new creature in Christ Jesus. A new creature in Christ Jesus. And He gives you a whole new outlook in life. Wonderful. Wonderful. Oh, dear young people, if you don't know this wonderful Savior, I plead with you, come to Him tonight. Come to Him tonight. Tomorrow may be too late. Life at best is very brief. It's just like that little bubble. It's gone. Burst and gone. I say, where will you spend eternity? Come to Him. He says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth Jesus as Lord, and believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Reality, right here. You can mouth it, but it has to come from your heart. There must be reality before God. Are you saved tonight? Are you saved? Dear young people, if you're not, will you come?